Do pick up your Bible. There should be one by your seat. If you can't find a Bible, there are a few down here. Somebody will pass you one. Do get a Bible. And we're going to turn to Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 8. We're on page 813, I think, in the Black Church Bibles, 813. This morning we're going to read from verse 23 to 27. Remember, we spent a good portion of time in Matthew's Gospel. Jesus, we've seen, has delivered this sermon on the mountaintop, and then he's come down last week, we saw, and he's performed these miracles, these healing miracles. This morning we're going to see Jesus perform another miracle, but of a different kind. Let's read God's sure word together this morning. Matthew chapter 8. And we'll read from verse 23. Let us hear the word of the Lord our God. And when he, Jesus, got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep. And they went and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" And then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What sort of man is this, that even winds and sea obey him?" So reads that part of God's word. Naomi is going to hand out sheets for some of the younger children. A storm to pull it in, and also some words to fill in. And as Naomi hands those things out, we're going to pray. Let's pray, shall we? Jesus says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock." Heavenly Father, this morning we are once again coming to the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to believe. Lord, may we be truly wise as we come and consider your word this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Jesus wants your confidence in him to be as extensive as his lordship. Jesus wants your confidence in him to be as extensive as his lordship. Just think about that for a moment. If you don't remember anything else this morning, remember that. Jesus wants your confidence in him to be as extensive as his lordship. What do I mean by that? Well, it is true, isn't it, that the extent to which we grasp that Jesus is the Lord, the one in control of all things, to that extent, and only to that extent, will we trust him? And so the question is, to what extent does his rule, his control, to what extent does it go? Just think, my children, they would be confident in me running a bath for them. None of my kids, if I said I'm going to run a bath for you guys, none of them would be full of fear and dread. They would, however, be less confident if, in fact, they'd be full of fear, If I took them a few miles off the coast in a small little dinghy in the middle of a raging sea. And my children would be right to be worried in those circumstances. My lack of experience, my lack of know-how, my lack of the strength that I need to row us back. I'm not going to be doing that, kids, don't worry. But the extent to which we think Jesus is the Lord in control of all things will be the extent to which we trust him. The Lord Jesus, as we sit in church this morning with our Bibles open, and do have your Bible open in Matthew chapter 8, he asks you this morning, how much do you trust me? To what extent are you willing to place your life, to place your eternal security in my hands? And the reality is, as we sit here in church this morning with our Bibles open, gathered as church, singing our praises, it is easy for every one of us to make the grade, isn't it? I love Jesus. I trust him as my king in everything. But the reality is, Jesus doesn't just ask us how much we trust him when we're sitting here in church, when we're comfortable, when we're at ease. No, no, in the school of the Lord Jesus Christ, we learn what it looks like to follow him, both in the classroom of gathered worship, but also in the crucible of life's trials. Gathered for worship this morning, we confidently confess, Jesus, we trust you. We trust you with everything, Jesus. And then the Lord Jesus, he takes us out into the trials of life where our confidence in him is tested, tried. And there he asks us again, do you really trust me? Show that you trust me. Some of us may remember Peter, brave Peter, one of Jesus' earliest followers. Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. I will lay down my life for you. Hours later, in the heat of a trial, a young servant girl. Weren't you with Jesus? Don't you know him? And Peter's confidence in Jesus tested, exposed. I don't know him. This passage this morning, it is like a window on what it's like to be in the boat with the Lord Jesus in the midst of the storms of life that test our faith. Think of some of those storms, the grief, the loss that we experience in life. Loss of a job, loss of a friendship, loss of finances, the finances run dry, loss in infertility maybe. Maybe a career going absolutely nowhere. Our children's future. Our children may be seemingly rejecting the Lord Jesus. Maybe the medical diagnosis that says, sorry, there's nothing we can do. Life is full of real trials, isn't it? Real trials that stress us out, that make us anxious, that keep us awake at night. And Jesus asks you and me this morning, why? Why are you afraid? Why do you worry? He wants our confidence in him to extend to the limits of his lordship, his control as king. This chapter, Matthew chapter 8, it is all about discipleship. It's all about following Jesus. Look, just look down again at your Bible. It begins in verse 1. And what do we read in verse 1? When Jesus came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. Verse 19, just move forward a little bit. There's a man in the crowd, and what does he say? Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. That guy who rushes forward without considering the cost of what it means, what it looks like to follow Jesus. Verse 22, we saw last week that other would-be disciple. Jesus, I'll follow you, but first let me go and do this. I've got other priorities. Oh, we've seen the fickle crowds not quite grasping what it means to follow Jesus. But what about now? What about verse 23? And when he got into the boat, that's Jesus, his disciples, not the crowds, his disciples followed him. He is the man that Jesus has chosen to be with him. He is the inner crowd. And yet they're no different, are they? We see in this incident that they're too fearful to leave Jesus in control, in charge. They're disciples of Jesus, too afraid to let Jesus take control. Friend, I want to suggest that is what you and I are often like. Just look how Matthew tells this story. Look again at verse 23. His disciples followed him. And then by the end of verse 27, what happens in verse 27? What's happened to these men, these disciples? And the men marvel. Do you see? Disciples here who follow, reduced to mere men. Gone from looking like followers of Jesus to those who just look like everyone else. And that is what trials, that is what storms in life can do, can't they? They test our faith. They test our trust in Jesus. So that anyone looking upon us when we're mixed with these trials and difficulties and stresses and strains in life, they would think, well, hang on, I thought you were a follower of Jesus. You just look like everyone else. Jesus is making no difference to your life. We just feel like everyone else. How can we trust him? How can we have confidence in Jesus? What does it look like to be confident in Jesus in the midst of trials, of difficulties? Two things I want us to see this morning, just from these few verses. Here's the first one. Jesus' calm displays or shows us a confidence that we can copy. Jesus' calm here, it displays a confidence that we can copy. Look at verse 24. Behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he, Jesus, was asleep. And they went and they woke him. A couple of the guys in church, they're firemen. You go to Eric or Aaron and you ask them about what happened on their last shift as a fireman. And one of the things that always amazes me is that they are seemingly so calm in the way in which they describe what could easily have been a life and death situation. It's amazing. Well, we just had this incident last night. And you think, just this incident? But the reality is, when the experts start to panic, when the fire brigade turn up and they shout, we're all doomed, we're all going to die, you know then it's time to worry, don't you? These men in the boat with Jesus, they are the experts. They are the seasoned fishermen. They knew the ropes. They knew these waters. They had seen this kind of weather before. Perhaps maybe they'd lost friends in this kind of weather before. And they know the bottom of this lake is now pulling them down like a magnet in this storm. They cry out, save us, Lord. We are perishing. Literally, it is save, Lord, dying. You do not use sentences. You don't get your grammar right, do you, when your life is on the line. Literally, save, Lord, dying. And where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? He's asleep. As the boat is overcome with waves, Jesus is overcome with tiredness. But friends, there is, I want us to see this morning, there is comfort for us in a sleeping Saviour. Jesus' calmness here is a reason to give us confidence in him. Why is Jesus sleeping here? Children, why do you think Jesus is sleeping in the boat? Why do you think? Why do you think Jesus is sleeping? Any idea? Go on, because why do you think Jesus is sleeping? Anybody older? What's the answer? Why is Jesus sleeping? He's tired. Jesus is sleeping the same reason as you sleep, because he's tired. Jesus is sleeping here because he's real flesh and blood. He's a real man. Because as a man, he is exhausted. Yes, he's the perfect man. Yes, he's a glorious man. But he is a man. Still a man. And as he sleeps, he's doing what all men who trust that there is an all-powerful God in heaven watching over us, what all of us were meant to do. Here's a man who perfectly entrusts his safekeeping to God. This is what humanity were made to be like. To rest in total peace, confident at all times, even in the midst of the storm, that God is in control. David Gibson says on this passage, Jesus is sleeping here. It preaches a thousand sermons to us. He is what true confidence in God looks like here. We see a shadow of it back in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, that book of songs. King David writes a song, Psalm 3. He writes this song when his son Absalom is chasing him, pursuing him in order to kill him. Psalm 3 and verse 1. The king, David, says this, O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. David is under attack. David, his life is in danger. What's David's response in that psalm, Psalm 3? Psalm 3, verse 5. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. The Lord sustained me. You know, we go through our days, don't we? If you're like me, and we're all the same, aren't we? We go through our days and we're concerned about all kinds of things. We are frantically making sure, I've got to get this right, I've got to do that, I've got to make sure that's in the right place. We've got to make sure that we've prepared everything that we possibly can do, that nothing seems to be going out of control in ways we don't want to in life. And then, like me, whatever time it is, some of us will be later, some of us will be earlier, but then we... At the end of the day, we go to bed and we sleep. And while we go to bed and while we sleep, the Lord our God is keeping us. He's keeping our families. He's keeping our homes. And he's doing that without any of the prodding, any of our input that we seem so frantic about often in the day. You and I, we're totally unaware of it. But God sees fit to keep you through the night. Just think, the fact that you woke up again this morning, that is completely due to God. To God's undeserved kindness to you. And the Lord Jesus, he knew that, and he was confident in God in that. That body and soul, his heavenly Father would sustain him. We sang together earlier that, when we sat down, that a version of Psalm 121, Psalm 121. Let me read it from the Old Testament. The psalmist says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel neither will slumber nor sleep. I wonder if you've ever thought there are some things God cannot do. Here's something God can't do. The Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, he does not, he will not, he cannot sleep. He has always, always, 24/7, always got you covered. One guy says this, one of the commentators. One can learn from the story of Jesus with his disciples in this storm. One can learn from the story, if one follows the logic, that in danger, disciples should sometime simply walk into their room, lie down, and go to sleep. He says, at times, perhaps, sleep with confidence pleases Jesus more than prayer with fear. That's true, isn't it? Friend, I've thought about that this week. That speaks to me. Sleep with confidence speaks more, pleases Jesus more than prayer with fear. Oh, if we could learn that lesson. See here how Jesus teaches us to be confident in God. God's made us, all of us, you're no exception, God's made us so that we need sleep, hasn't he? As his creatures, we need to sleep. We need to sleep so that we cannot control every moment, every aspect of our lives. Sleep destroys the illusion that I need to be in control. There are whole swathes of my life I know nothing about. My head hits the pillow, and God says, "You rest, I've got it covered. You just chill." And as we sleep, God is still upholding the universe. He's still upholding you without any of your input whatsoever. You know, often we worry, we're anxious, aren't we? Because we don't just believe that God has got our backs covered. When we see our problems as bigger than God, it's true, isn't it? Honestly, the times that I have been most stressed out, most anxious, most restless, is when I've practically lost confidence in God. And that happens not only when we make God smaller than he is, but when we make ourselves too big, when we make ourselves too important, when we put all of the weight of the world on our own shoulders and think we've got to carry it, make ourselves our own saviour. Oh, friend, we were made as God's image. We were made to rest in him, to calmly, confidently live, knowing and trusting him. That in the storms of life, I know, I'm confident that there is a shield between me and between me perishing. He who keeps you, he will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. In the news, quite regularly at the moment, you know that Iron Dome, I think that they call it, over Jerusalem? The Israeli Iron Dome, it's an air defence system. Do you think, forget about the noise for a minute, do you think you could sleep confidently under that Iron Dome? Missile after missile are intercepted, destroyed by that Iron Dome. And over 90% of incoming missiles are intercepted by that Iron Dome. And yet there's always the chance, isn't there, of a rocket getting through. I couldn't, I don't know whether you could, confidently sleep. Confident enough to sleep under an attack, under that dome. I couldn't do that. And the question is, can we trust God? Can we trust him enough to sleep in our cares? How far does his control, how far does his care really extend? Do you trust him with your life, with your health, with your career, with your relationships? Do you trust him enough with your children, enough so that you can sleep? Oh, the Lord Jesus here, he knows he has a Father in heaven who is watching, keeping, sustaining him. Friend, we are to learn here from Jesus' calm. It's a confidence in God that you and I are to copy. But here's the second thing I want us to see. Jesus' word here brings us a confidence in his person. Jesus' word brings us a confidence in his person. You see how the details, Jesus in the details here deals with these men who think that they get it. They're part of the inner circle. They think they get it. Actually, they can't see. They don't see clearly. Verse 25, they went and they woke Jesus saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" See how tender, first of all, Jesus is here. Jesus isn't saying here, "Oh, you guys, you've got no faith." He's not saying, "You know what, you don't really believe in me, guys." He's not saying you've made yourself outsiders. No, these men, they want to be disciples. They want, like us, to follow Jesus. But just like us, they don't have the confidence that they can leave Jesus in charge for too long. Especially if it looks like Jesus doesn't know what he's doing. Here's the boat submerging, Jesus asleep. Wouldn't it be foolish to leave him in charge? Oh, you of little faith, says Jesus. A couple of the commentators point out that actually, it's just one word, oh, you of little faith. It's literally, oh, you little faiths. You little faiths. In the midst of this raging storm, Jesus comes up with a nickname for his followers. Little faiths. Why are you afraid, little faiths? Little faiths. Friend, isn't that you? Isn't that me often? I can certainly tell you it is me often. Those storms at work. Those storms within our family lives. Within our relationships. Those storms over our children's futures. Over our health. Jesus seems to know this is what we're like. Little faith followers of him who actually think that the laws of nature are somehow extend beyond his lordship, his power, his rule. Little faith followers of Jesus, happy to trust Jesus with the small stuff in life. Happy to sing in church just how great he is. Oh, but when the crisis hits out there in the world, oh, we're not that confident that we can leave things in Jesus' hands for that long. Oh, but friend, we can trust him. We can trust Jesus because of his word here. See, what is Jesus' word here? It is, we're told there, a rebuke, isn't it? Do you notice that? Jesus, we're told, rebukes. Who is it that Jesus rebuke? Who does he aim his rebuke at? Is it the little faiths? No. He said to them, why are you afraid, O little faith? O you of little faith? And then he rose and he rebuked the winds and the sea. You see, Jesus, he does address his disciples. He does address these little faiths here. He addresses his followers because of their little faith. And yet his words to them are so tender, aren't they? He doesn't want his followers to be full of weak, shallow faith. But the stern rebuke here of Jesus isn't reserved for them. It's reserved for the wind, for the sea. Jesus here, he's not saying that we're not to be afraid of anything. That all fear is sin. No, no. Let me say, it is right to be afraid in a sinking ship. It's right to be scared if you're trapped in a burning building. It is. It's not wrong to be anxious when the results of that test come back positive. When your child seems to be straying from the Lord. When there's division within a church family. We should be fearful of things that we recognise are far, far beyond our control. But it's over anxiousness. It's excessive worry, so that we lie awake at night, consumed with fear. That is what Jesus is addressing here. Listen to Calvin, he says this, it's not every kind of fear that is opposed to faith, only the dread which disturbs the peace of the conscience in such a manner that it does not rest on the promises of God. Fear that will not take God's word seriously. You see, little faith, it does get in the boat with Jesus, doesn't it? But those in the boat, they not only here experience this great storm, they also experience the power of Jesus. Friend, let me say to you this morning, if you are a brother or sister little faith this morning, praise God, at least you are in the boat with Jesus. Praise God that he's not far away, that you're right where he wants you to be, that he is right where you need him to be. And the question is, will we trust him? Is he the Lord in control of the storm that you are in now? Does his lordship extend even to the fearful trial that you're facing at work, at home? With your child, with your boss, your husband, your wife. What is beautiful here is that even when we're fearful, Jesus hears our cries and he takes us exactly where we are
And where we are, he works to provide and to protect, to sustain and to save us. You see, Jesus doesn't wait, does he, here, until we've mustered up enough confidence in him to work. No, no, Jesus works here as the Lord over all things to show us that we can have confidence in him. We're to trust the Lord Jesus in light of this rebuke he makes. A rebuke to the created order, to the wind and the waves. The rebuke he makes to all that is broken in the world. In the Bible, some of us will be aware, the wild seas, they are often a picture, they're used as an image of chaos, of evil. Think of a stormy sea, it's chaotic. The sea is often in the Bible a picture of rebellion against the order that God has created. The sea is an image of darkness and danger. And into that world, Jesus issues his command. Be still, silent. And instantly, nature obeys him. Friend, one day, the Lord Jesus will say to a whole world in rebellion against him, be still, no more. At the end of the Bible, there is that picture of the new creation in the book of Revelation. We're told there in chapter 21 of Revelation, it is a world without sea. It's a world without sea. That's not saying there won't be any H2O in the new creation. It is telling us there will be no more chaos. There will be no more disorder. And here in Matthew 8, we get a glimpse of what the Lord Jesus will one day do for the whole of creation. You see, the whole point of this passage is that the creation, the natural order, recognizes the voice of its creator. Creation submits to its master, to its owner, to the Lord who controls all things. The man in the boat, who is fully a man, and yet who is not merely a man, who is not just a child of his heavenly Father, who is not just a trusting son. And the men marveled, saying, what sort of man is this? Actually, in verse 27 there, the word man isn't even there. It is what kind of thing is this, that even the wind and the waves obey him. He is the Lord of all. He is the maker of heaven and earth, of whom the psalmist can say, Psalm 107, he made the storm be still, and the waves at his word were hushed. Then they were glad when the waters were quiet and he brought them to their desired haven. Oh friend, the Lord Jesus who calls us to follow him, even this morning, he is the Lord of heaven and earth. He rules, he controls it all. He holds all of your worries and all of your fears and all of your anxieties and stresses and strains. He holds them all in his hands. He knows all of your fears. He knows they are real fears. He knows those fears are great. And yet, friend, he is the Lord. He is the Lord of your fears. The Lord who rules over and controls all of your fears. The Lord who will one day say to every sleep-depriving disaster, no more. And friend, all on that day will be well. As we close, brother and sister, this morning, the one who is God and man perfectly, perfectly, fully God, perfectly, fully man. He this morning, even as we're sat here, he sits on the throne of heaven with all authority and power in heaven and on earth. And at his word, all will be well. At his rebuke, all evil will one day be banished, and all that works against your good It will be gone forever. And this morning he calls you to follow him, to trust him. Jesus wants your confidence in him to be as extensive as his lordship. That's where we started this morning, isn't it? How extensive is his lordship? Do you really trust that he has got the whole world, the whole of history in his hands? Do you trust he's got your life completely safe in his hands? See, we can trust him this morning. We can trust him with whatever it is that seems just too big at the moment, so overwhelming to us. You can leave it with him. You can rest peacefully this morning. Why? Because he is the Lord over that thing. He's in control over that situation. Oh, we know we're trusting him when we're content to take our worries to him and to leave them with him, to rest in his unchanging grace and goodness. Oh, friend, may this morning, may this week, our confidence in the Lord Jesus be as extensive, as far-reaching, as all-encompassing as his lordship truly is. May he be glorified, and may we know his rest and comfort in it. Amen.